Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Well, hello. Thank you for visiting today. Welcome or welcome back. This is Judy Brewer with Wellness Renaissance. I had a wonderful opportunity to sit down with the Alt Lead guys. And if you're not familiar with Alt Lead, they are two brilliant and amazing guys who have put their heads together and created something that I honestly think is really unique, useful, effective, and so incredibly needed in our world, in our individual lives, etc. Their focus is taking a workplace and kind of giving it a cultural makeover, but in a really good way that works with the workplace, bringing people to a better functioning together level with training and support and coaching. But the unique part of all of this is the method that they have used and what they have created to put so many tools, positive tools together, then also to make it stick. And that is the piece that is missing in so many workplace trainings. We have all been to corporate trainings where you sit there for an afternoon and even longer than that. And then you kind of, you know, end up going back to work and poof, you're kind of sometimes lost, or you try to take things with you, but you don't really know how. That's what they do and how their approach really differs from what you're typically used to. One might find themselves asking, okay, so this is about work. What does that have to do with my health and wellness from a health and wellness podcast perspective? Well, think about how many hours a week do we spend at work immersed in the environment? And then, you know, so typically 40, right? And for many of us, many more than that. And then add to that what comes home with you, the effects of the interactions at work or the environment or how it feels to be at work. You know, I can think of times when I have worked and loved my job, loved the people I worked for and worked with and felt useful and productive and wanted to go to work each day. And then I can think of times, and sometimes at those same companies, absolutely dreading going to bed at night because I knew that that meant I had to face the next day and go in to work where the environment was just so not okay and so disempowering or gut-wrenching that it made your whole life no fun. It drains our energy. It does not promote us taking care of ourselves, be it exercise or eating well. So what other health problems can all come from that? We know stress is a huge, huge drain on us and our immune system. Add to that just plain not taking care of ourselves because we're stressed out all the time. So that comes in a great continuum of how that can look. But the point being is that being happy at work is a big piece. And that is what these guys are really trying to do. So if you work at a job where you have other employees around you, if you have a company where you have employees that work for you, or honestly, even if you work for yourself, but you work with the public or with other people, their focus is definitely working with workplaces. But I'm just saying that wherever you fall into that, there is something to be gained with checking these guys out. I was really intrigued with what these guys were doing when I first met Marty, and he was explaining to me exactly what they were doing, how they were doing it, and how it was affecting people. Then I had the opportunity to go through the training, see my experiences and other people's experiences on the other side, and see that what they actually are trying to do is what they are actually doing. I think it is important and needed work, and I think it can help so many of us with our health and wellness in a sort of indirect, but at the same time, really direct kind of way. And just so you know, this podcast is a little bit longer than our typical. We had such a great conversation, and there were just so many nuances that I thought were really important to bring out. So I didn't want to sort of cut that off just to fit into my sort of arbitrary time frame. I'd rather give you more information and a sense of who they are than try to sort of smoosh things into a smaller time frame. I encourage you to listen, and if this speaks to you on a level of something you can do with your employees or at your workplace, you know, there is so much quote-unquote self-help stuff out there, but I really think that these guys have a corner on some aspect that is really different than pretty much everything else I've seen. Welcome, Chris and Marty. I'm going to have you guys introduce yourself so people can hear the voice with the name and know who they're hearing from.
Hello, I'm Marty Burns. I am one of the co-founders of AltLead. And the thing about me is that I've been doing this for a long time. It's kind of like, kind of goes with marriage. I've been married for, you know, 46 years. And I've been doing leadership training for, well, not in the marriage so much, but in and the other 46 years, I think I've been doing the 46 years. And I firmly believe that in our world, if we actually become leaders, everybody actually uses leadership skills, we can bring peace to this world. And I certainly know we can do it in the workplace.
Cool. I like it. It's a whole different perspective on peace.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah. One to one. It starts one person
at a time. One conversation at a time.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I am Chris Correa, the other co-founder of AltLead. I encountered Marty through Rotary leadership work, and that led to us eventually partnering up to bring this out to the business community this way. And part of my connection with Marty in Rotary was my first exposure to developing a personal mission statement and having that be a driver in how we work and the choices we make every day. I realized that my mission statement was, in fact, to be a peacemaker and bring peace to the world. And so we kind of connected on that level. Biggest thing is we realized that there's a lot of positive change that could be happening in the world, period, never mind work context, that you can put in the context of peacemaking. Because peace is that peace, prosperity, and wholeness. And that's what we actually can really bring. So here we are.
Right. Yeah. And you guys have an actual plan, which is fun and exciting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about AltLead, because I know this is something many people haven't heard of before. Talk about what AltLead is, what it does, what you guys do. And then I also want to hear about the name and where that came from.
Well, the name, we'll do the name first. We know we had to name this company. I used to have a company that was called Creative Changes, and I'm not sure that would work again. But we knew the name had to be something that the people who are going to be here after us would recognize. And so we're looking down the road. We want our company to last over generations, and we don't mind that whoever takes it over changes the name. But the name has to fit the time you're in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thinking about what we do, and most of the stuff that we bring to you, somewhere deep down inside of you, you know it. It just is you don't know how to access it, and you certainly don't know how to use it. You might know some of it, but as a whole package and put it together, it's hard to put it together. And so we were talking about it, and it came to our attention that this is kind of like that alt key on your keyboard, where, you know, everybody knows that if you hold that down and you hit the other letters, there's all kinds of stuff hidden underneath there. And it's really cool. You mean I can make a tilde by doing what? And I can make all these different kinds of O's or whatever it is. It's, well, you know, your computer does that stuff, and you go, how do I get the trademark to come up? Well, you hold down that alt key in number one or two or something. I don't know. It's one of those two. But anyhow, and you get a trademark. No, I think it's actually the at. And you get a trademark. The TM comes up.
Okay.
How many, I mean, wouldn't that be neat to use that when you need it? Because otherwise you just put a big T and an M and it looks stupid. So you know it's there. Our thing is we're the leadership alt. We're the part that actually digs down inside of you and brings this out of you. There will be a couple surprises in our training, I'm sure, that you didn't know about or you wish you knew about earlier. But most of you do know. It's just is how to use it. And so our deal is to draw it out of you. So we don't ask you questions that we ask you, you know, what do you think leadership is? And you tell us, and we go, well, no, it's what we say it is. You know what? It's what you say it is. And then we draw that and draw until you actually can do the part of leadership that you think leadership is. And along with it comes some other stuff. And it's amazing how people take to this. Like, and we just had a recent training where it was all guys. The one lady, she couldn't make it every time though, but at this particular minute, it was all guys. We asked these questions. They've all been to other trainings before. And so we asked questions and we would like their answers and stuff. They wouldn't answer. And so we waited and waited and waited. And so finally someone said to us, all right, we need a rule. And the rule is, you guys have to tell us when it's not a rhetorical question. Because we've been to trainings where people ask these questions and then they tell us we're wrong. And we go, that's exactly what we don't do. So we learned a good lesson there too, is to be real upfront about it. And they are amazed at how drawing it out of them, then it was easy for them to attach to the new behavior, the new way to do it. And there are things that they wanted to do. They just didn't know they could do it. They weren't allowed to. And it comes down to the environment they worked in doesn't allow it. And we do a lot of work with them to change their environment.
Okay.
And make the environment so that people can actually do their jobs and get rid of what's in the way. And usually it comes down to some of the stuff at work isn't safe. I'm not talking about hard hat safe.
Right.
That's us.
Nice. Anything to add to that, Chris?
Well, I think you started to get at the notion of a little bit more about the development of Alt-Lead, too, in terms of the start and it transitioning into what's happening right now with the work with businesses, as Marty just said. And I mentioned earlier that Marty and I met through Rotary. And Marty and a remarkable volunteer team that developed over the course of a couple of decades operate in this Rotary district across northern Minnesota, some of Canada, some of northern Wisconsin, North Dakota, into all the way to Montana. It's one of the biggest districts in the world, and it's an international district. We have what's probably a world-class youth leadership camp that's developed over time. And as a volunteer facilitator, I went one year because I'd heard about it. Our club was sending youth there. And when I say world-class, we're talking about 150 high school juniors and seniors showing up on a college camp, one of the major college campuses, every summer for a week. And a volunteer team of 40-plus facilitators and other support staff taking, for training in the camp itself, taking 10 days, you know, travel, maybe more, who knows, because we have one guy coming in from San Francisco every year who has a hand in running the camp now and was originally a camper, and many of them are. They give up this time and make this commitment to be part of this because of what it offers and because of what the experience and the environment is. So I showed up my first year, and at the time, I did work with teams more formally when I was involved in nonprofits and in different roles and then directing. Then I stepped into my own business and ran a couple of martial arts academies over time where I relied on a lot of volunteers, if anything, and motivating. So that's my business at the time. Ran a couple of martial arts academies, you know. It's taekwondo, but as people always say, oh, you're a karate guy. I got boxed into being a karate guy. And I show up, and my roommate is this other Rotarian who's also older, because many of the facilitators are, in fact, millennials and even younger millennials at that. And John and I are together, and he does our introduction, and he comes in as Mr. Business Guy. He's tall. He's deep-voiced. He wore a gray suit and CFO status in Fortune XY number companies over a whole decade, and he gives his introduction of who he is and where he does, and I think I'd probably... Smart alecky replied back, well, you know, I'm a karate guy. I have a couple of martial arts academies. But we got to be roommates and talk throughout that week. And as I was going through that week, I was thinking, wow, there's something different in this. It's not just the curriculum that might be put out there to the youth, because this Myers-Briggs and this Cubby 7 Habits stuff that's used in workplaces all the time and really doesn't necessarily make a difference. And here it was causing something different to happen with the kids. But more so, it was all related to the way it came across. It was something about the environment, that team of 40 people working together, and what was in that and what was transferred to the kids as part of that. And I was feeling something too, as if, gee, you know, how can this work for kids? And here I am in my 50s or 50 at that point, I think, and I'm feeling something here that's different. There's something empowering about this. And I never had a good conversation with John throughout the week on that. And at the end of the week, John stood up to the team of facilitators and had to do this announcement and asked us to speak. And Here's a guy that went through corporate America internationally even and had every variety of training and leadership development possible. And he pretty much put it in the context of the week had changed him, changed his life.
Wow. You
know? Because he got the insights and realizations about himself and working with people and environment and team and the whole package that he thought he had every other peak moment, you know, first to go to college, first marriage, first kid, first executive job, all these things, retired, grandkids, and it was going to be done, you know, however old he was, 67 years old, and, you know, all those peaks are done. Here I am just cruising now. This guy went from that camp to having that experience and still has gone back, driving from Florida some years to facilitate,
wow,
in fact, to going to other camps around the country that are, that Rotary is doing and volunteering and, on a good news, giving us feedback saying this is, you know, that top-class camp that we've been going on up here. And John had talked with both Marty and I a little bit about, Marty first, did you ever do this for businesses? Because Marty brought the tools and insights he had over his career to shape that camp and that environment the way it was. And the thing is, it was also sticking that kids go to that camp and they're just on the brink of going to college and they're staying in touch with each other. Maybe they come back, facilitate a couple of years and go out into the workforce and they're actually able to use those tools to make better environments and be better as part of that environment in the workforce. So really flowing out of kids, but that flowed out of Marty's experience with the stuff he worked throughout his career and volunteer capacities. But it caught me. And, you know, when you facilitate, it's good if you can make a commitment for more than 1 year so you can kind of come on board and understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, John and I coming back and had that discussion. And I sat down with Marty once and knew John was all eager on this stuff and started the conversation. I said, what would this look like if we started doing this with adults? Because I was thinking maybe there's a next stage or change in my career that I wanted to make. And whether I had it in my mission or not at the time, because I didn't, I was really sensing that it was all about being able to bring peace to the world. As we spend more time at work, mm-hmm, and in our work interactions, and I'm potentially won't even say relationships because we call it work relationships, but relationship implies a level of depth that we usually don't get to. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of surface interaction, you know, with all the stuff that happens there. And we spend so much time there compared to even what we spend with families at times to not have peace and wholeness and full integrity of all those relationships together, doing our best there. When that doesn't exist, there's not peace. And I've had some uncomfortable places I've worked, and I, you know, yearn for them wanting to have been better, and I didn't have the tools or insights or self-presence at the time to really contribute toward making them better because some of them were pretty tough. It would have taken a... I'm a master in Taekwondo. It would have taken a master in leadership to turn some of those places around. And I think we make masters in leadership because we're taking people down the right path, mm-hmm, to really, to, as Marty phrased it earlier, actually change the environment. And if there's already a good environment, it ups the environment,
oh, man,
that people can really find that secret sauce they need to go from 90 miles an hour to 100 miles an hour. You know, if a place is kind of struggling along at 35, we get them up to highway speed at least and beyond. So. Yeah.
So, yeah, so you guys are working with workplaces. So it's not individual coaching. It is working with as many people as you possibly can in a workplace to help facilitate and cohese. It's about everybody being on the same page. Just to let people know who are listening to this, I've been through some of your guys' trainings and have been just supremely impressed. Because it's so different than I've been at jobs where you go in and you take these trainings and it's one person from each department who goes in, sits down, listens for however long, and then you walk away and that's kind of it. And maybe it's a 2-day training or whatever, but it's not coming back and working with the whole picture and having conversations about, you know, like you guys do. It's conversations about what's really happening so you can take real situations. And you're working with what's there and where people are at. And it's not just a curriculum of step-by-step, let's walk through this particular person's program. You guys are pulling from the best of the best and then finding this way to synergistically put it all together and having people understand it differently. Mm-hmm. And from the training that I was in, which was a multi-week training, I mean, people were talking about how the communication was different and how people were responding differently to each other. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Chris, we spend so much time at work So it seems like a great place to start to help people support those environments.
Well, first of all, thanks for coming to our training. It was fun having you there.
It was a blast.
And you brought a really good perspective to our training. It was fun. And you know that already, but the fun part. The thing is that I think people understand is that we have this dedication to make it stick, to make it work. And part of that is there's a couple things we do and that might be a little bit unique. And one is we aren't going to do a room of 1,000 people, 150 people, or 100 people. I mean, for the Rotary Camp, it's 150 kids. And we broke it down into groups of 8, and we had facilitators for each of those. So they'd get the general stuff, and they'd break back into groups of 8 and actually do the work of it. So we broke it down to the smallest, really workable number that we possibly could with all those kids and staff. And remember, it's all volunteer. The deal is that we really want to limit a training to how many people will show up. We need to have a size that we can actually have enough diversity in the room, and diversity is really important in this, but it's not so big that people get lost in the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so we try usually to have at least one facilitator for every 8 people that are there. 8's a great number to work with. So if there's 16 people, there's 2 facilitators. If we won't probably ever go more than 24 people in the room, and we probably do 3 facilitators for that. If we need to do more people, we're just going to have to do another training. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. It's really important that there's enough time for the interaction. We said we draw stuff out of people. We actually, I lied. We set it up. We do a little bit of that, though. We do a lot of that. The real drawing comes. The real drawing out comes in the when we break them up into smaller groups, and they get the idea. They hear how in a smaller group how that affects each of them, and they actually, all of a sudden they're starting to bring it out themselves. And we use our communication piece and stuff. It's all nice on a board and looking at a slide or whatever it is, but when people actually talk about it and saying, "Well, back at work, I've got, you know, Marianne and Bob there," and they go, "Okay," and so now think about that, and so they start talking about it, and they'll talk to us about that too and stuff. We'll get in with them, but the deal is that they start to work out, because then someone says, "Well, we have, you know, Janet and Ellis," and they start seeing the commonality of the problem. It isn't the same, but oh, so if you actually talk that way, this would work, and they kind of go, "Yeah," and then of course, along with the other tools, you bring it all together and you start getting some commitments to actually use these things. And it's in a safe place away from work to get the commitment. And if you do the one that is over several weeks, you get to go back to work that we can try it and come back next week. We'll talk about it and we'll coach you through it too during afterwards. We'll actually get on the phone and coach you with it at no charge. And because our deal is to stick. But it really is it's in the conversations of the large group all speaking about it together, but the participants speaking about it, and even when they broke into their smaller groups speaking about it, and getting that diverse information out there. And you always say diversity is a strength, and it really is. And it isn't all about the diversity of the ones that the government tries to get us to look at. I mean, they're important. I mean, I do think they're all important, but each person is an individual, and they're unique. And that, just that there's 2 people, there's diversity. I don't care who they are. And it's actually hearing it and respecting it and respecting your own. And we get it to happen. And all of a sudden, things start to change. You can feel it in the room with us. I mean, people in the training will feel people making a change. And of course, to us, we get gleeful about it. I mean, we can't do a little dance in front of everybody, but inside we are.
You can.
Well, we could.
I think we have.
Well, yeah, maybe once or twice. But and that's what we do. And Chris and I sit there and we go, when we take a break, we go, "Did you see what happened? Oh, my God." Yeah. And it's just amazing. And we have a lot of fun. Sometimes more than the participants. I don't know. It's like stealing, but it's fun. So we do it.
Right. And it's also one of the things, again, it's not just the tools of sitting down with a piece of paper and say, "Here's a list of I statements. If you just talk to people in I statements," you know, you guys are way beyond that and much more specific, which is extremely helpful.
I can't speak in great detail and knowledge of the crucial conversations that a lot of businesses use as something, you know, it's become pretty widespread. in terms of stuff that's out there, in as far as having good relations in a workplace and trying to make some progress, you know, that's some of the better insightful stuff that came up, because it really took it past adages and admonitions to a place of conversation, you know. And yet when we talked about that book, this go back a few years, you'd read the book and have some church men's group discussion about it, I think people pretty much acknowledge that, and that notion of, as they phrase it, stakes being high and starting with heart, you're still going to be pretty courageous to step up and do that. And I've often said, Morty was helping people have all kinds of conversations, crucial and otherwise, before there were crucial conversations. And he referenced a really important term. I think he said safety somewhere along the way, or at least I thought of it when he was talking, because that's the word we use a lot, that psychological safety. Even that's become a buzzword of sorts right now. The thing that's amazing, which you experienced, is that some pretty simple tools that are powerful, that when you start training and then you coach according to them later on, since we cover both sides of that, the training and the coaching, we just don't do one or the other, they go hand in hand. It fosters the kind of safe space where you're having conversations all the time in a good way, and when the things get a little more crucial, you are fully supported and they're able to have the crucial ones as well as the ones that are less crucial at times, because the whole culture and environment is really there to support that. And isn't that all we all want out of any relation, family with kid, with you know, our own nuclear family, as well as maybe extended family is the tough one sometimes for people, and the workplaces, is to really just be able to drop away all the stuff that's getting in the way of us being able to just really communicate, and then together with that figure out how to best get our work done. You have everyone's whole self and power contributing to achieving goals at that point in time, as opposed to what often happens, the opposite. You know, the Gallup people that talk about engagement, you know, they recognize that, you know, about 20% of the people in a workforce on average, it varies by business, but on average, are actively disengaged. And that doesn't mean that they're just checked out. It means that they're actually screwing stuff up, even on purpose. You know, they're throwing hand grenades, they're pissing off the customers. Okay, you said I could say some words.
You know, I'll have a talk with them later.
And causing safety, physical safety problems because of lack of participation. You know, I've worked in a place where I actually heard people in a blue collar setting, one guy say to a couple of other guys, "I'm not going to go take care of that because, as far as I'm concerned, if that SOB over there ends up getting hurt, he deserves it." I mean, that's active disengagement to the point of causing big issues with physical safety. And I think Gallup acknowledges that the cost of, you know, $550 billion a year in cost to businesses from just that 20% of actively disengaged people, a big part of that is lost productivity and damage regarding safety issues, be it equipment breakdown, disability claims, all of that added together because of really bad engagement and lack of respect and lack of good ability to communicate. But there's still a whole slice of people in companies on average, that Gallup puts it, like half the people that are just checked out, you know. And so how can they be drawn in? What in the environment can be changed that actually makes them a part of the creative, productive culture of a company? And that's what our tools, as you know, are oriented toward doing, and really do. They really work, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting in the whole disengagement piece, because being in a workplace, I mean, you've got the people who are just there, collect their paychecks, do their job half-assed. I'll join in the fun. And But and sometimes, like you're saying, I know there's a particular company, the people I interact with, that it does have that feeling. It's not even just not caring. It's just so not caring that they just don't care about the results of the customer and if they give the right information, and, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, as a coworker, when you do care and you want to do the best job possible, you know, it drains on your attitude. But it's also, when the whole company isn't buying into, they always say, bring yourself 100% to work. But is the company culture allowing for that? And if it's not, that's what you guys are
that's
there
right. That's
to fill.
Absolutely it. So when you come to work 100% ready to work, I mean, that's kind of a litmus test of if your place is safe or not. And you come in, the behavior of one or more people, whether the way they talk or act, sucks the energy right out of you. And when it sucks the energy out, it's like, now I need to do something to make myself safe. So it's pretty much, I'm hunkering down and I keep my head down. I'll do just what you asked. I'm not going to take a chance. I'm not going to extend out to my full ability. I'll give you just what you asked me for. And if you're really ticked off, I'll do that. And I'll get in the way of Joe doing the same thing so that, if anything else, he's in more trouble than I am. Mm-hmm. You start diverting stuff to other people, and that starts creating this, I call it throwing hand grenades. And if somebody's really, really doing well, it'd be really nice to bring them down, because then they'll go after them for sure.
Misery loves company kind of thing.
Yeah, and you're really protecting yourself. So what happens if the environment changes? Me Too is out. It is a big thing. Me Too is, people, I don't think I understand, is they're talking about the environment in a workplace or any relationship isn't safe. Mm-hmm. And it isn't just, you know, women who are being preyed upon, which is terrible. It's the first time when a boss just brushes up against somebody and it's uncomfortable and it shuts them down. Mm-hmm. And the boss notices that. And now the boss knows that there's some way that they can take energy away from that lady. Mm-hmm. And what happens when that happens? Okay, that woman does go down. What happens to the coworkers who saw it happen? All of a sudden, they're starting to get guarded.
Right.
And when they become guarded, they aren't going to be doing their job to their 100% any longer. Mm-hmm. It starts to drop. And finally, you have 25, 30% of people that can thrive. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a huge 50, 55% that are just going to be zombies. I mean, they're going to be, I'm here, I'm for my paycheck, I got my family, I got my bills, I can't afford to lose the job, mm-hmm. and I'll give them just what they want. They want X amount of dollars on the bottom line, and they want this to happen to get there, I'll do it all. But that's all they're getting from me. And if they want me to work one extra hour, no. If they want me to go to the picnic, company picnic, no. It's not... You're not a priority in my life any longer. Mm-hmm. And not business shouldn't, your job shouldn't be their top priority, but it isn't where it was when they hired them. When they got hired, they're really excited.
Right.
It's gone downhill. And what's changed? The environment they thought they're getting in is not the one they thought. And the employer goes, I didn't get the employee I thought mm-hmm. I'd have when I thought I'd hired. Yeah, you did. You just didn't set the environment up so that person can thrive.
Right.
And leadership is all about that. And giving that environment that the person can do their best every day. And guess what? Some days will be a little off because, you know, something happened.
Life is life.
Life is life.
Right.
It's, they know that that's okay then. They know they aren't going to be taken down because one day, one thing.
Right.
And yet making mistakes. All of a sudden, making a mistake is not the end of the world. Mistakes are, really are, truly what they said they are. They're a learning experience. Mm-hmm. We learned something. All right. Right. Let's go on.
Right.
You don't get fired. We learn.
Right.
I'm safe. So it's a complete change. So I'm telling you, if you're in a place, if you work in a place where you know, I don't care, no point of finger, just know that when people's heads go down, the energy is getting sucked out of there, and people are becoming zombies. Even your best people will do it from time to time. If it's happening, you really need to change the environment. And we do that. That's us.
And you can't... As an employer or a manager, you can see sometimes that environment's changing, but you can't identify it.
Right.
And you don't, it doesn't always work to do that, and you're not always the right person
right.
to do that. But yeah, if people are not bringing them their best selves, I mean, I think that's always a question of when you're not bringing your own best self to work, what's going on?
Right.
You know, and I've been working at places that I don't love the job I do, mm-hmm. but I love my team, and it's all, I mean, it's so awesome when you work with great people
yep.
where the dynamics are, and even, you know, in the good teams that I've worked in, we could still use you guys. It could have brought us to a whole, you know, a whole new level, but that everybody wanted to be there and everybody wanted to support each other. Something is going right,
yep.
you know, and it's so much more fun. And like you're saying, when you're bringing down those people and then you've got power people who don't understand what leadership means, they see the power they gain, but they don't understand the power they lose
yep.
because these people are feeling powerless. They feel like I've got power, therefore I'm winning, but don't understand the synergistic positiveness that everybody wins when nobody feels that powerlessness, and how everybody can work so much more effectively. And then you get in and do this, and it's a whole different environment.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Simic has it right when he says that for some people, they think they're leaders, but basically they're just authorities.
Right.
They have authority, and they think that's leadership. No, that means you have authority, and you're somewhat of a bully. Mm-hmm. Where a leader is one who empowers everybody, gives the power to everybody, and lets them do what they need to do. It isn't just the leader's idea. The leader becomes with some direction, some vision and mission and stuff. And then it's like he's hired these people to actually make that happen and then lets them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sets up the environment so they can do it. And yes, they will make mistakes from time to time. Who didn't?
Right.
The leader did. Who fired him? Or the manager. The manager, the big manager. Who fires him? Nobody. But get rid of him.
That concept of failing upwards sometimes.
Yes.
We got to get him out of this department. Let's give him a raise and a better job, better label.
There is a difference between having authority and having leadership. And we relate authority to managing. How you manage all your resources, all of a sudden your people are resources. And how you manage them, how you manage money, very focused on managing things towards the goal of it, actually comes down to pretty much the bottom line somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
People who lead say, I know how much profit I want to make, and I tell my people, and then I allow them to go get that for me, and we'll go together. I hired them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So let them do it. Quit second-guessing them. Sure, we participate and we communicate and use these tools, and we all can participate together, and we'll get that. Well, Steve Jobs said some deal about, I hired the smartest, not to boss them or something, this isn't quite right, but to actually use their intelligence. It isn't quite right, but he didn't hire smart people to try to boss them around and control them. He hired them to use their intelligence and let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them figure it out. Let's do that. Let's do it with everybody. I mean, even the janitor.
Right. And that came from a guy that people, talk about Steve Jobs like he was a bully. And he definitely was hard driving in the ways he was, and maybe a bully and a jerk and a whole bunch of other stuff. But obviously, he also did that with people. He actually hired those really smart people and capable people and heard and listened to and released them and empowered them to accomplish the stuff they accomplished, which is some pretty remarkable stuff at that company.
Right.
So let's create a new environment. Let's make this better. Let's get rid of me too in your workplace, in anybody's workplace. And it's not done through firing people. It's done through changing the environment.
Mm-hmm.
The environment doesn't allow it. It isn't the management doesn't have the, it isn't the HR manual. It's the environment.
Right.
It's something that's actually more powerful than HR manuals.
Right.
HR, we hear people say who are in HR, it's not all of them because they are protective of what they have, but you hear some say HR is nothing about human.
Well, it's rules in a book. Right. It's not all of this other stuff that's harder to quantify and harder to, you can't just send people to training and take the quiz. Do you get it? It has to show up in what they're doing.
The irony with HR people is from my experience of having HR places I worked, I kind of had this impression that HR was all about policies, procedures, numbers, legal, and they are, actually. In some ways they have to be, but they are. That's mm-hmm. really. So I kind of wondered, who are HR people? And since we use Myers-Briggs as a tool for helping to empower, and I got put in the aside that we do the official Myers-Briggs stuff we have to do as certified people, and then we take it to a whole other mm-hmm. realm that actually makes it something that people can use, implement, and use to empower a team, not just know and respect each other's type in some vague way. But HR, I'm curious, what are their Myers-Briggs types? Is there something on that? And there was some stuff I found. And they're all these very human, touchy-feely type of people.
Almost all of them.
They want a whole, healthy, cooperative, thriving, empowering environment. But because of the limits of corporate structure, authority, legal needs, and a lack of tools in really seeing how that can start to come about in the workplace, they're working where they're working because of the vision they have of where they would like stuff to go, and like largely, completely, oftentimes incapable of really taking it to that place. So it's a tough place to be in, because you really want some changes like we were working to get there, but trying to do it through run-of-the-mill, like you said earlier, that show up, get trained, and leave and hope something changes. Mm-hmm. And the best you can do is offer it to people, you know, without the proper support and enough rules and policies that seem fair and all of that. You know, it gets to the Me Too that Marty referenced in terms of, you know, yeah, you can authority-ize a workplace enough so that people are afraid to do stuff. And so it's not happening, maybe, overtly at least. It's probably happening in pretty subtle ways that people notice. You know, a woman, I think, you know, from my male perspective, but I have a wife I talk to and a daughter who's pretty feminist. They know whether it's overt or not. And mm-hmm. so whether or not there's overt Me Too, really bad stuff, there's still crappy interaction happening behind the scenes there. What about a Me Too that everybody could do? Like, we take it to the realm of different levels of injury that happen at work, not just a sexual harassment thing. Mm-hmm. What about belittled? What about devalued? What about not acknowledged? What about ignored? You know, those other kind of hurts that are there. Because they're all Me Toos that are hurt and damaged in the workplace that happen. Even in a really healthy workplace, they happen. Right. We just don't have perfect team interaction, like you said earlier. Even on the best team, we can be apart. The difference being that even in that best instance, the environment is such that you can talk about it, mm-hmm. and people have the respect and the ability to listen and understand and respond to that, as opposed to react to it in some way, to change it so that it's resolved. There's that conversation that happens. Mm-hmm. And the environment has to be right to be able to start to use those other tools to move it along, so that it goes from the individual's got it right to now that introduced into the team, and the team has it right, and then that affects the company, and the company has it right. And as you know, we start with helping to just start to get the environment right. And then, as Covey puts it in the Seven Habits, people really being at that place of winning the personal victory, you know, that they themselves really getting at a good place that they can take to the team and help the team become empowered that way. And then that's that public victory. And the public victory is the company operating better, making money, having people show up, like working there, mm-hmm. doing their jobs in a way above average way, using all of the gifts and skills they have, being able to put that out there for the benefit of the common goals. That's the kind of thing we get to. And what can I say? It's the best thing out there. If someone's mm-hmm. using other things instead of us, they're stupid.
Well, I like to sort of, I think of you guys as sort of this like holistic like thing, because it's...
How's that for marketing?
Well, I'm really good at marketing. Yeah, there you go. I'm just slamming on it.
Yes, sir.
But I think of it as the holistic piece of, I've been in environments where, say you've got the HR person, somebody comes in with a very legitimate complaint, very legitimate issue that is bothering not only them, other people around them, mm-hmm. they deserve the one who had the guts to go be brave and talk about it. Person says all the right words, person complainer walks out the door, shuts the door, and they, meh, 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 is kind of the attitude they have as, oh, brother, one, you know, and does not internally understand how this is really a problem, how it's costing the company money. And a lot of times, most people, they're getting their paycheck anyway. And if you don't have that investment and understand, how much it can help the whole place. But you're right, having that safe space to be able to bring a problem, mm-hmm. that's like one huge thing. And just being able to talk about it in a sense like adults,
yeah,
you can sometimes resolve it. Maybe, and like you say, there's so much underlying stuff. And I think women sometimes pick up on that more than men do. It's the whole, well, that's not what he said. That's okay. But did you understand the way he said it? Did you understand, you know? And I love that your guy's doing this, like getting the whole picture. It's not just do these 10 things and you shall succeed. It's understanding the depth of person that you have to get to and bring out that allows this to happen. And like I've in various past lives, I've done Myers-Briggs. I've done some of the other tools you guys actually bring. And certainly you had new ones for sure. So it's not just your old stuff put in a new package, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different stuff, but it's things that you bring to life in a different way than my old job where I went to the training, we did this thing,
yep.
but then you walk away. And you guys make it, you bring it to life and think about how to accomplish it. And I think that that is so much of, again, what you guys bring to the table. And then you're doing a multi-week training. And then, like you brought up a little bit, Marty, is that you guys do follow up with people. So talk about that a little bit, because that is so much of the structure of your support in getting that holistic integration.
I start sometimes use a martial arts kind of training analogy. I say, man, a couple of martial arts schools is like a 25-year endeavor right now for me. So it's been a big part of my life. There's a lot of stuff that goes into someone's interaction and training that way. A lot of relationship, a lot of psychology, a lot of motivation, mm-hmm. a lot of respect and support. And I do self-defense seminars, which people will say, you know, big local company has had me in a number of times in the context of an hour or 2 hour session, want to do something on safety, self-defense, if you will, like that. And the reality is that you can't go in to 2 hours or even a weekend long martial arts training and learn a bunch of stuff and practice a bunch of stuff during there. And if there's really no follow-up practice and support mm-hmm. and feedback, it's out the window. It just is. The podcast I listen to that has to do with fitness-related stuff, the author of that talked about self-improvement culture and looked at some research on it, and it's literally the endorphin release that happens when you're at a seminar by XYZ for the weekend or something, and you're all pumped up, and same as drugs or you know, drinking, whatever, you know, you want that feeling again, and you kind of go from this book or podcast or seminar to the next one, getting new highs, and you've convinced you're getting a lot out of it.
Uh-huh.
And the bottom line is, did what really stuck and what really changed over time? Mm-hmm. You know, what changes for Taekwondo students is someone that practices week in, week out, day in, day out at least, or at least week in, week out on whatever basis they participate. And it's not to say you're going to be in a training seminar all the time, but there's the double reinforcement of, say, a self-defense seminar of someone, if they could continue to get tune-ups on some basis, that stuff would stick, mm-hmm. and they start to learn it, you know. And actually, I realized you took part in the seminar that I did over a number of weeks when I did stuff for Lighthouse for the Blind,
yes.
or Center for Vision Loss, or whatever they're called right now. So, and so we hit both sides of it. The thing, going back to the youth leadership camp that popped up, is that what John saw is that this, his phrasing was, this stuff empowers. And when he said kids, he meant the whole team, because he knew what that team environment was. It wasn't just campers going, getting a rah-rah week. You know, he saw the whole thing. He was a smart guy. He's been in business his whole life. He knew. He said, this empowers like nothing that he ever had in all those years of business training that way. And that it seems to really stick, too. You know, he's a big
very
John. Yeah. Which is part of the further intimidation when I'm John Osler and I've been CFO of whatever international. And, all right, well, who are you? What do you do? And, you know, I'm a karate guy. he's such a wonderful guy. As we always say, we can take the hardest-ass person and turn him into a softie. But, you know, that is a big part of the changes. You know, mm-hmm. Hardness in that way is usually defense and mm-hmm. shield and armor. Yep. And, you know, it's amazing what you can find when people can start to step away from beyond that mm-hmm. and actually have honest, full participation. And be supported in how to do that as a team and as a company that way, you know. But martial arts seminar training, we talked about doing training, maybe doing it as a week-long camp, and we can do that format, but we do these, as you know, several hours a week over multiple weeks. We have a few different options for how we'll offer it. But are people going to walk away, and what's going to stick or not? And we realize that we call it coaching. I actually like to think of it as just support, because it's flowing mm-hmm. out of training. It's not just the cold coaching like a lot right. of people do. And that's the best of both worlds, because we had the commitment of only doing this as a company if it was going to work and it was going to stick. And the work is, well, really, are adults willing to do this? You know, because sometimes you're at a certain age and place, and, you know, you just really wonder, you know, not that the tools were doubted or the process was doubted, but there was that little initial thing of, you know, adults just really are afraid to change their ways, you know, and a lot of the stuff out there isn't leading to change and all that, you know. Well, what's going to be the difference? So really, the tools in the process really are different, you know, that and enough, you know, Judy, changes. stuff in a way other stuff doesn't. But the follow-up support was going to be needed, you know.
Right.
You got to have that regular practice as much as people want to go to a seminar, be it martial arts or leadership or personal empowerment or whatever it is. It usually kind of begins and ends and fades right there, you know, without something continuing on. And the coaching isn't long-term ongoing coaching either because of the training that's happened. There's a certain amount of time and, gee, you know, we generally set people up in pairs. Sometimes there's three, so two people and us. So they have a partner in coaching, partner in crime, you know, that they're working with. But they're getting insight from someone else using the tools and thinking about how to best integrate them and change their environment and culture and the relationships and their own relation to all of it in their context, and you have it in our context. You know, in the case Marty referenced of guys, he does have a coaching pair of two guys at the same automotive shop, and they are in two different departments, if you will, of that. And we interviewed them beforehand because we'll always interview to shape the training to best meet the needs of the group. Without necessarily naming names, this place isn't so big that we couldn't figure it out. They were kind of saying that, you know, my job and all of our job on my end of this would be a lot easier if he or they went that way and vice versa. It was pretty clear. And
it isn't me.
These two guys came to the training and they actually, we saw it there in the first session. They actually opened up to each other within the first couple hours.
Wow.
And realized all of a sudden that they are partners in this and they want to bring this back to their team. And what was the expression, Marty, as you went to one of the first coaching sessions? Imagine guys having in a shop having emotional intelligence or having...
We're doing soft skills.
Yeah.
We're doing all mechanics, you know, wrenches and grease and crap. And can you imagine? We're doing soft skills. I was cracked up. I did crack up. It was funny. I tell you, it's part of the answer to your question is this commitment first to interview people ahead of time to see what their need is and make sure that we deliver that for them, and then delivering it and then coaching them or sticking with them afterwards to make sure that they can use it. But as we're going along, we might be getting better, or they're obviously people are smarter than we are. We're having people using it like the next day, and they're going in. We had one lady, and she went from our deal right back to the environment, and there in front of her was the worst employee she had. Because she tells us, and then she says, "Nope, I'm gonna try it." So she went up to this person and tried it, and then she had to call us and tell us, "Holy crap! You're like, guess what happened?" And she says, "I didn't know." So we're saying, change the environment, you'll see what's there. There's a whole different person there. If you put them into a safe environment, you make it safe for them. And, I mean, honestly, this person was on the way out. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of, it was a test to see if it worked. Well, glad it did. But people are going back and using it. And then afterwards, we'll coach them about stuff. And then so what else can we, and then they're going along. All our stuff is integrated. You can start anywhere. We give you all these tools to use. Start with any one of them. And other people say, you start with the first and go to the second, go to the third. Well, you know what? If that's not you, don't. Start where it feels good. This one, God, I really got that one. That really made sense to me. All right, start there. All the rest are integrated. They'll support each other 100%. You start somewhere. In our coaching, we're going to get you using darn near all of them, and it does work. A guy who was in your group coached him. He called me up. He said, "I need you to come down and talk." Okay. No, he didn't call me. Was at a meeting. He said, "Come down after this. I need to help." And somebody, I held off doing anything because I... And I get there, and guess what? He couldn't get around his ego. And we talked about ego. Ego, you got it. Sorry, it's a roadblock. And he talks about it and how he held back because he knew it was wrong. He just didn't know how to get around it. And so he talked and comes down to, okay, so how do you empower this guy? And, it's not about me.
Mm.
And I'll hear in the next few days what's happened. But my guess is that, first of all, you should have him taking notes. And I can do this. And he starts adding stuff. I can do this. I can do that. It wasn't fire him. He was talking all about things to empower this man. Mm-hmm. And work for him. That he really wants this guy to excel. I mean, he really, really does. And he really saw that the problem was not the guy. It was him. Mm-hmm. The problem was he forgot that he wanted to empower him.
Mm-hmm.
There is an expectation of this guy. But, you know, was he going to create everything himself? I mean, he needs
support.
The support. He needs to know it's safe enough to actually take a chance. I mean, he's going to turn over the entire scheduling of his whole operation to this one guy. And, you know, and so he's just going to screw it up. You know, wait a minute. And so it's kind of like, all of a sudden.
Help him succeed. Let's figure out how to do that.
Yeah, and my guess it's going to be a fun little journey for both of them. Right. And I mean, I can say I hope it works. I know it's going to work, but I really hope it works for everybody. And it was amazing where he went from there, talking about other stuff in the business. Oh, my God, Marty, you just told me to use that piece. I didn't use the words for what it was. You just told me to use that piece. I said, yeah, notice I used this one, too. Oh, yeah, that's what that was. And so now he's using more and more of the tools. You know, and you can see just doing that, the energy it built in him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then he tells me about the last job he had. And he said, they need you desperately back there. The deal is that we coach them. We support them. We never walk away when they say we're done. We don't need to coach anymore. That's fine. And then they'll call us 4 months later and say, I need a help on this one. What am I doing? Because sometimes you get lost. And we'll help you back. We won't judge you. We'll just help you.
Right.
Nor charge you. I'm sorry. You buy our service. You bought us. We are in your team. We are not another entity. You don't go to our thing and say, when people ask you, what did you do there? And you say, well, I walked on coals. Are you using that at work? No. And but we'll ask them what they use, and they go, it was real fun. It was really empowering. What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, so motivating.
It was motivating. Yeah. So they say motivating. Yeah. And what are you using? Well, nothing. And sometimes ask them why, and they'll say, and they come down, and some people actually will say it's because I don't think they'll allow it here. And they just tell us you're not safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not safe enough.
Right. And you don't have the whole buy-in of, I mean, that's an important piece, is if one person goes to training and tries to bring it out, it doesn't really work.
For us, it does, we can do
it. Well, yeah, that's part of what you guys bring to the training is, so kind of one of the things you touched on a little bit is that I always think of, you know, what I think of things, the little phrases that we have in our culture of, you know, you're responsible for your feelings, you're responsible for how you react, which is true to a point, but there's also, if we see how somebody can bring a different way of communicating to one situation in three different ways, we are reactive people. We take from what we see. Mm-hmm. So we're going to react three different ways. So maybe they're responsible, but the reality is you don't react one way all the time because it's how you react. You react to what you're experiencing. Yep. And you guys, and I mean, I saw that in our training. People, the first week, would take stuff and how it would shift, right? Because it's just the little things that make such a huge difference, you know? And yeah, your follow-up training or coaching that you guys do is, again, I think such a huge piece. There's a resource there. And all of so many things we know. To master something, we need to keep working on it, keep working, and consistency, and 10,000 hours, right? And then I always think of church. Why do people say they need to go to church? Well, I need to go to church because it helps keep me on the track and in line. Okay, well, how about that with health? How about that with how we function towards people? We kind of let that stuff go and forget that we need that all the time, too. We need the re-up. So being able to walk away from your training and then come back and say, like you're saying, help. You guys create that safe space. So there is that feeling that you could call and say, okay, I don't even know here's what's going on. Yep. What do I do?
What do I do?
And that is such a big piece that is, again, so different from most corporations where they bring three trainers in and then they're gone.
I'm going to screw us over by saying this. Because the Franklin Covey Company and Dale Carnegie and John Maxwell and Tony Robbins and anybody else that happens to hear this, because they're all going to want to hear this, are going to realize that the business model that we set this up, because of the way it succeeds for people, they're going to steal it and then they'll be competing tougher with us. And what they're going to steal is the notion that standard setup is... You offer training, a lot of these other companies, they found a business model that works. I mean, you got to make money as a business, and that's great. And they're trying to change the world. They have good missions, trying to change workplaces. But largely, it's a training seminar, And then optionally, you can buy coaching services. And that's probably in great support of the seminar. But then you charge for the coaching on an ongoing basis. And I don't even know that much about that professional coaching realm in terms of, you know, how it might be put out there for packages or ongoing time and how much time. What we have found is the combination of training and coaching is that, because we didn't know quite how it was going to go. You know, come out, here's me, got my two people coaching from the two different companies, from the nonprofit countywide youth mentoring program and the insurance agency downtown. Okay, and they've got that group of two, male, female, you know, the good shared experience. One of the two people, after about seven sessions, I think I went back and counted, said, "How long do we have to keep doing the coaching?" Because I got it, you know. And so there's a time that comes when everybody, probably, except the rare single person, really needs those first two or three sessions coming out of a training, you know, to really start to work stuff in. It varies a little bit how much past that, and they all get more and want more, but, you know, everybody needs that to really get it rolling. Within as few as six or seven, and then definitely within, you know, that 8 to 10, it's usually well done. People just need that support to take all the stuff that was talked about, even practiced with at the seminar or retreat. It's still not in the workplace, like Marty said earlier, to just make those integrations there. And it's stuck enough from the training and gotten in deep enough from the training, and then it's been practiced and implemented here, and people get it. And sure, they can call back if they need to, and some have, and we've just been like, yeah, you know, we feel we're on people's teams. We like, and it's going to be a company philosophy for people that are here after us, becoming part of people's team, not just in a word way. You know, one of our clients, they need more business. Right? So in everything else we're doing, we're also trying to, like, help them get more business. And it's like a holistic part of just the whole thing, you know? So we really become part of your team.
Well, you guys know so much of what, you end up learning so much about what's going on, that you just, you're kind of an awesome resource.
Coincidentally, you know, they're probably going to be working a little bit harder to get us business. But the great thing, that's what it's all about, you know? So,
I mean,
ultimately, all of our success together. You know?
They kind of leads to another thing is that people should know about us. It's that, honest to gosh, if you work in a workplace where you can have open conversations with people and they will just listen to you to hear what you have to say, not to judge you, and just listen to you, and you'll do the same for them. You really start to change this environment at work, and people actually enjoy working with each other, and there's not the gossip and backbiting and backstabbing and stopping over somebody to get ahead. Competition in business, I believe there should be competition. It should be, let's everybody do our best. Our is to help each other be our best. And I'll do my best and I'll help you be your best. And together, you know, don't compete us. We're the greatest company on the face of the earth. But the deal is, I mean, I had a company, I owned part of a company, and we used a lot of this stuff there. And you had this woman who worked for us, and, you know, it came to Christmas time. She was probably one of our best employees, and it was providing a mental health service to folks, and it was tough work. I mean, it was really tough. And normally people work in this job, and there's a high turnover, and there's burnout rate is extremely high. And we weren't having turnover, and we weren't having burnout. And we had a little turnover, but not much. I mean, you know, somebody's husband would move or something. Somebody get a degree and wanted to work somewhere else or something, whatever it is. But not big turnover and not burnout. So it was a Christmas party, our first Christmas party. And the husband of this woman comes up, and he's a jovial guy, and he's kind of a redneck. And he probably had his plaid on and his plaid hat and stuff. I can't remember exactly, but he's a really fun guy. And he comes up to me and he says, "Okay," and he's got his finger up. He says, "I don't know what you did to my wife." "Oh, well, I'm going to the bathroom now. Get me out of here, you know?"
Right.
And so anyway, he says this. I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "I don't know what it is, but before she started working with you guys, she'd come home at night and she was just a witch. And she didn't use that word with a W. But anyhow, and she'd have to go close herself off from the rest of the family and us for hours. And then when she got off that, she'd be okay and okay. So we'd have to clean the house and make the meals and do stuff because she just was shut down. Mm-hmm. And everybody was, I mean, we weren't a happy family at all. And things were kind of, you know, iffy for us. And then she started learning from you guys. It's completely different.
Wow.
And she comes home happy. Do you know what that does to a family? We go do things when she gets home.
Wow.
We all clean the house. We all do the dishes. We all make the meals. It's completely different. Whatever you're doing, do not stop it.
Wow.
This is the power of what comes of this. It's that ripple. And if you want it for you, if you want it for your employees, for your team, to actually bring that to their home, aren't we really affecting more than work?
Yes.
And what if then they come to work tomorrow and they don't have the fact that they went home last night and they yelled at their kid or kicked their dog or hit their wife or spouse or partner? What if they don't have to bring that negative stuff with them because the environment isn't there?
Yeah.
The environment changes at home.
Right.
What does it do for your business? I bet you just that alone is going to change your bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how much more engaged they are. Now it's in two places in their life. And what happens when Uncle Jim sees what's happening in that family? And maybe goes, what are you doing over there? Or the neighbor, Jones, is next door. Right. What are you doing over there? How come your guys are so darn happy? I'm going to throw a grenade at you. No.
Yeah,
exactly. Take a dump. What happens? So let's start. I mean, we are really, really about changing the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about bringing it to the workplaces. That's where we can actually make a difference.
Right.
We can't go into people's homes, but they can.
Right.
And who's going to do the best job bringing it into their home? Don't you want to make that change? I mean, and to me, it's like I think most people do. I don't think that the mental model that workers have of their bosses is correct, just like I think the other way isn't correct either, bosses of their workers. I don't think bosses really are these big, mean, rude people. I do think they want things just like you do. They want this world to be a better place. They want their business place to be a good, safe place for their employees. They do have a loyalty to them. And they never get to express it. They're never heard. They're never heard. And the employees don't have a tool to listen, as well as the boss doesn't sometimes get beyond that mental model of who their employees are. And they're just here to make a buck, to get there. And but they don't go and find out why they're there, because they probably is for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
It probably has to do with the reason they gave them when their interview, when you decided to hire them.
Mm-hmm.
It has something more to do, but we have forgotten what that is.
Right.
So go change it. We will give you the tools to make it happen. What does your friend say about us, Ted?
You guys are the culture doctors. You should have named your company the Culture Doctors.
There's the next name, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to connect with you guys, because there's the opportunity, obviously, to connect and bring you guys in or come to you, what about some of the taste tests?
I'm ready to say this. This was even an elevator discussion on the way up here to your own corporate office. Bent to our international headquarters.
Yes.
Especially when we started and we were really focusing on a multi-day offsite retreat concept, which we'll still do those, we thought, you know, that's a big commitment from people, time and money-wise, so what's a good way of doing this? And we had, at that point in time, these three-hour free sample sessions so you can get a sense of what we're all about before you make that big commitment. And although we'll do that now, we have these other versions of the way we can do the training. We also realized that in only 90 minutes, we can really get across what we offer. And it's not a laundry list sampling of what's there. It's the type of stuff we've been talking about here to really have people appreciate what that's all about and what that looks like in a workplace, and give people a couple of tools that they can actually go back and use to start to create that. So 90 minutes. And we have those on our calendar periodically, you know, about every month and a half or so, and use that as a way of getting a diversity of people to show up from different businesses or corporations or whoever it might be wants to come and get that sampling. The other way we can do that is if a company wants to get a sense of this, and especially when it's a company where maybe they have more of a team or people across some levels and departments that they might want to engage together to try to implement some environmental change, that we'll do it for a business. And even if they're thinking of sending one leader potentially to one of our trainings as opposed to working with the whole company team, and they still wanted to do something within their company, we'll do it. I mean, we use that as our way of contacting people, not just having conversations only. Like, we're willing to put it out there. A lot of places kind of do that right now, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a single person that's not come to one of our taste tests that just walked away realizing, oh, this really is different, and you guys really have hit upon what really is the core issue. Mm-hmm. And I see that. You know, somebody at one of the big chain restaurants locally here in Duluth came to one of our taste tests. We did a follow-up with them on site. And showed up unexpectedly through the kitchen door. Just the way we do stuff. So, yes.
Watch out.
And he acknowledged that, I took a lot out of that. And in redoing the taste test to the 90-minute format and changing exactly what we emphasize in there, we were, I don't know if we were worried, but we were wondering, you know, is it enough for people to not only get insight there, with that takeaway, so we can say we're giving you something beyond just an insight. We're giving you something practical. He said, oh, I got a lot out of that. I came back and I did this right away and I did that right away. And especially now in this restaurant chain, in the era of Me Too, we got to make sure that we're not even coming close to that. And so I talked with my team the next day or two right after I went to, and I was like, God, okay, so you want to pay us something now?
Because
you just got all this great walkaway stuff.
Right.
So you're trying to find that right balance of respecting people's time. Mm-hmm. And giving them the insight of what we offer and giving them something of value. And heck, someone gives us a follow-up call and says, you know what? I went back and tried that thing that you told us about and it didn't quite work. And you said we could call you. We can tell them, try it this way.
Right.
Or tell us more so we can have you figure out what
different way to mm-hmm. tell you about it. Mm-hmm. The guy at the restaurant, he'd been to all kinds of leadership training. But he went back after 90 minutes and actually used three of our deals right now. And we'll give you, so Chris said, you give them something for free, Marty. And I said, no, you can't. No, these people, they got to pay.
Yeah, well, he
because we're not for the money, man.
Yeah, he worked, a decade and a half or so in retail. So
that's him.
It's all about the charging. It's all about the sample.
So anyway, it was, and so we actually will give you, in our taste test, we'll give you three of our really good tools to use. And that's no charge. And honest to God, they're big foundation pieces. They're things that will actually start changing the environment. You don't get the whole package, sorry. That's really why we need to charge money. And besides, our wives do insist that we do make some money.
We could all just work for free, right?
Yeah, we could work for free. But we don't gouge you. We don't sell you any other services. You can't buy a cap or a t-shirt. Well, maybe one day we'll make some with our name on it. You can't buy the CD. Oh, but what you will get at no charge is, of course, coaching afterwards. And you will get a copy on a thumb drive of everything we did. That includes the videos we used. It includes everything. This guy I talked to last week, he said, when he called me down to tell me he had a problem. And he said, I can use that piece right you did. It's go to another thumb drive. It's right there.
Right.
Take it. And he said, you'll understand that. Put it out there. You get it all. And we'll give you everything we have. We don't make you pay another penny for anything. Mm-hmm. It's one time, one charge, and then let's do it. I mean, the biggest thing for us is we do want the businesses we're working with to have a safe environment so that their people, including the top people, are safe enough to do their job and actually to make a difference with each other. We can do that, and we'll do it, and hold us to it. But we'll do it with you. Come on, dance with us. We're not that hard to dance with, and we're kind of fun.
Well, and so, you guys have the taste test, so you can, before you dive in, you get a piece of that, and then you have maybe this is a good question. Do you have multiple types of training? Because I'm thinking you have the retreats. Like, you can do the big, let's go take everybody out to the... spend some time together.
Right.
So those are the big retreats that you can do. And then you have various versions in the middle, am I correct, about time and size of who you're working with that fit who you're training.
And broadly speaking, it breaks into three options, although there's even variety within that to meet, depending on who the cohort of people is or the company, their particular limits with time or needs. One is that off-site multi-day, whether it involves overnight or not, and that could be different people participating because they want a retreat concept like that, or it could be a company, which we've done that with, like a leadership team or a group of property managers across a dozen hotels. And the exact number of days, the format, the same tools are in everything. The same basic material is there, but it is customized. We talked, Marty mentioned that pre-interview earlier, because exactly how we do it, what we emphasize, the extra activities we build in, we try to be really sensitive to, you know, the idea is to make it work and stick. And so it's the same stuff, but done differently for everybody, you know, even if it's similar. But that week multi-day that's going to be in there. And so customized. And in that case, even the arrangement, sometimes outside speakers that might reinforce some concepts we're working with, you know, which possibly affects cost on that case. But that's very customized, okay? But it's out there. So you go to our website, there's no price associated with that one. You know, we do those multi-week seminars like you took part in. And that might be done actually over the course of a couple of days, you know, a day a week for a couple of weeks for a small group. Maybe it goes into a third week. Maybe it's several afternoons across the course of a couple of months if it were a bigger group and people can only commit half a day. We could break it down into a little smaller increment than that. And that has, regardless of the format, it comes down to $1,800 a person is what we have that priced at. Because the combination of the training and the number of coaching sessions that go after that, that's what we could add as something that works for us and works for you. The third one is shorter sessions. 90 minutes would be typical, and that would go over the course of 12 to 16 sessions. And that's meant to be for a small group of four. So a little bit of a smaller, limited in time, but also people that prefer that context. And in that case, we still want four, and ideally four from four different places, because the diversity of discussion that happens and experience really is what brings a lot of value sometimes to the sessions. And so that gives that, and it's stretched out, you know. So, okay. And you can see how with any one of those, the exact number of weeks or the exact length of time can be adjusted. So we're from the start of planning ahead of time with people and customizing it that way to the way we'll shape it together with folks once a group comes together and realizes that this particular schedule is actually going to work better for everybody. We'll shift to adjust to that way. Yeah.
So a lot of basic concepts that are in the whole of what you do, but if nothing's really cookie cutter.
Nope, there's no. And the thing is, that, people ask us, could you do it this way? Yes. At first we go, we had to think about that. How would we do it? And it's a tool that we use, and we'll teach you this one, is that, and so for anybody who's listening, you're going to get a free, it's not really a tool, a free thing to do, okay? Remove the word but from your vocabulary. B-U-T, okay? And the thing is, you say, oh, you know, can you do it that way? Oh, but we'd have to read, okay, so they say but, you know, the answer is no. But, and if you heard something, say something differently than that, it may change the whole environment. And so if I said, and we can really take a good hard look at that. And I think we need to do that. And, but is the word that we don't need.
It shuts people
down. Shuts them down. It tells you no and tells you that I'm in charge and you'll do it my way and says, ooh, you have a good idea. I don't know how I'm going to put it to use yet. But you sure had me thinking. And now you've opened up the whole creative world of possibility.
Right.
And get rid of your butt. I hope nobody's offended.
It does bring a whole different energy to the conversation.
It does. You know? In honest to gosh, people will tell you, our deal is we're going to build energy. We're going to take the things that suck energy right out of your environment. Build the energy. Think about it. Think when something negative happens and you're really upset and you think somebody should be fired or you should fire somebody or somebody should be disciplined. What happens if I build energy with them? What will happen if I take that, instead of making their head go down, I bring their head up?
Yeah.
What will happen? We'll help you create that environment so it can go on every day.
We use the expression positive tools. Mm-hmm. And that's in contrast to what Marty referenced earlier, that a lot of management is essentially call them manipulative tools, controlling tools. You know, you have to manage and control, and whatever variety of tool that might be, it's essentially trying to orient it toward positive ends, but it's a negative tool.
Right.
A positive tool means not just feel good, not just culture, environment, emotionally, I connect with work very well. Beyond touchy-feely, what about next steps after understanding? What about things like commitment? What about things like accountability? You know, those can all be gotten to using positive tools as well. The reason why the people are boxed in and forced to things like accountability and commitment in ways that seem coercive or negative, you know, accountability and commitment, show up at work or you'll get fired.
Right.
Right off the bat. That's not going to make sense. It's business as usual. There are positive ways of changing the whole context and the whole discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The ripple Marty mentioned earlier in terms of rippling out from work to family, the other ripple is when people show up in the workplace. Because if the environment is right, obviously everyone who's there is a little bit self-supporting and it's going on. Someone new comes in, even if they don't quite get it, it ripples out to them.
Mm-hmm.
So now an employee that came in that in other circumstances in a not right environment probably was going to be one of the ones that came in and eventually went back out through the revolving door. They're in, you know. In addition to the notion of if you increase those number of people that are engaged and really all rowing in the same direction all at the same time, you know, the dragon boat lifting up out of the water because everyone is completely in sync together, you know, that synergy we imagine. That's in the Seven Habits too, synergy, what it really means. It really means everybody's all in and all on board, like we've been talking about this whole discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't just show up and say, synergize. We have team, we have to synergize. Well, no, synergy happens because all this stuff's right in the environment.
Right.
And those amazing companies and those amazing teams and the places that keep employees that never leave, you know, hiring isn't an issue. You don't need an HR person to deal with hiring because you hardly ever hire. You know? So, and you don't need an HR person to do exit interviews because people hardly ever leave and you hardly ever fire. It's not unrealistic. It's just fear, time limits, lack of exposure to these other tools. It becomes business as usual. And business, you know, we use expressions, you don't have a better way of dealing with something. So it's like business is business. It's nothing personal but, or that's just the way business is done. Those are all things we use to tell ourselves that we really don't have other options and we can't do better. And yet you, Judy, reference going to church. Okay, not that church is a be-all, end-all for every person.
Right, it's the concept.
But basically the idea is that you're going there every week to hopefully maybe be that week that really leads to something. And it's usually little notches over time.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky enough to put some stuff out there that can do some pretty big shifts on people in relatively short order. And it does ripple out to the rest of the workplace and new employees coming in and to the family and to the world.
Well, when you have new employees come in, they're kind of trying to figure themselves out. Where do they fit? How do they work? What is this culture all about? And when they see that, they can mold into it and be a part of it, you know, and that...
Yep. You know, one of the first tools to use when you get that new person in and we're into our onboarding with them, and if you ask them that one question, I'm not going to tell them what it is. You gotta check it out.
Yeah, you're not even paying for this podcast, so you're not getting anything for
that. Yeah. It is free for the taste test. I don't know why we don't. Because we can, because we're in charge.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we might even show up at a taste test.
Yeah. But anyhow, it's. And you get the new person comes on board, and you do that with them. Putty! And you're putty. It's a. Oh! And then if you follow up with that one statement that goes with it, holy cow. It's like, really? And they won't believe you at first. Honestly, gosh, they will not believe you. But the deal is, if you live it, you do it. It doesn't take long for them to believe it. And then they know, I'm in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
They can let their guard down. Because guess when you're new, you ever notice when you're new in a place how nervous you are?
Right.
And oh my gosh, not only just was what I wore, did I say the right thing? Oh, they're judging me, maybe, you know, and there's those people over there, and they might think, oh my gosh, and I'm different. And so they look, oh my God, and takes it all away. Oh, this already starts to feel good. I like being here. When you guys started that first day, we did those two things for you, and all of a sudden, the energy changed in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you're all new to each other. And you can actually say things that in front of these people you've never said in front of anybody else before. Mm-hmm. You go, ooh, and sometimes we're pretty surprised what comes out of people's mouths. But it does.
It is fun to watch the walls kind of fall.
Yeah. I mean, remember in years where we went to do the, we did that stuff and people got real comfortable, and then we started the communication piece and I asked for something controversial, and the one lady gets up and says, and this, I've always scared to death someone's going to do this, and she does, and she goes, all right, just tell me how I'm going to talk to all those conservatives out there, and, you know, with this administration right now, and they're all bad. And so then she wouldn't have said that in the first date, because there's obviously some conservative people in the room. And it was safe enough for her to just say it. And all the conservative people then get up and leave. They all went, yeah, how do we do that? Yeah.
How do we communicate with each other? Right.
And so we went through this little exercise, got to the end, so what do we do now? And she goes, my God, we got to take this on the road.
Change the world.
We're going to change all these, all the politicians in the world.
Well, these nuclear disarmament talks between us and North Korea are coming up, supposedly.
And there you
go. If we're in the room,
man,
we can...
See, that's the thing. We need to throw you guys into D.C. and so many other places, not just D.C. But, yes, that would be... I would pay to watch that training session. That would be beautiful. Lead TV show.
Yeah.
The notion of the positive tools and energy... When that business as usual, as I was talking about earlier, comes up, there is that onboarding, the hiring, the keeping people on, the doing whatever you do to try to get them back on track, and then eventually they're heading out the door that way. Or they choose to leave for some reason because something's just not there in the environment, as opposed to leaving for, you know, they have to move or something.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing positive tools to being able to do that and change that. It all takes energy. There's only so much energy, you know. It's neither created or destroyed, it's transformed. That's whatever law that is. I don't remember which one. It might be number one, in fact. It'd be cool because it's so primary, right? And does it take energy to have to search for people, hire people,
mm-hmm.
figure out who you're going to hire, onboard people, manage them in whatever ways you might typically manage mm-hmm. them? Take care of the problems when they pop up as they come along, or whatever it is you typically do, and then have to deal with them leaving or having to fire them based on the standard model, and then start the whole process over again. It takes an awful lot of energy.
Yes.
Takes an awful lot of money, awful lot of time. How about if there were actually some tools that worked, that built positive energy, and that worked well, and that you felt good about using, even if it took the same amount of energy overall somehow, if you could measure it, as all that other stuff? What's the different outcome that we just achieved there, though? There's a lot more wholeness and peace and integrity to keeping that person on board and having them be on board. But it actually doesn't take the same amount of energy. It's the standard stuff is like trying to push a rock uphill. You know, it's trying to fight against a wave that's crashing in, if you want to look at it that way. It takes a lot of force, as opposed to tools that ride the wave. You actually learn how to surf. You know, in the martial arts, I practice a hard style martial art, actually, which is, you know, kick and punch and break things. Okay, so, yeah. But even in that context, you learn about use of energy, and in a way, how you focus your energy. And then when you focus your energy in the right way, something that was going to be amazingly hard or difficult or actually hurt you happens. And when it happens that way, it actually seemed easy. And the first time someone experiences that, by accident usually, they look like, what was wrong? Was that like a fake brick or something? It's like, no, you by luck figured out how to figure that out. Now we'll work on having you get that on purpose that way. So, but a different kind of martial art, Aikido. There was the founder of Aikido. He was actually a hard-style Japanese warrior, and he had a spiritual revelation that he didn't want to hurt people, but we needed to defend ourselves, and created the entire art of Aikido that all has to do with really blending with people's energy and redirecting it and diverting it so that no harm happens, but everyone is safe.
Wow.
And it's, you know, meant to be like a martial art of love. I think the word love is used in that. And realistically, we use the word love in our training too.
Yeah, we do.
Because that's the force that if we all have it in us, that everybody wakes up in the morning, and I don't think anybody, including that worst you-know-what at work, that boss or whatever, wakes up and thinks, I am going to show up today, and my mission in life is to actually hurt people, damage them. That same person probably looked at their sleeping child that morning and made a promise about something about peace and love and support in the world, and really just can't take it other places too successfully. And that's, you know, so we talk about that because it's the most powerful force there is. And can love and work actually work together? Well, you don't have to go about around the workplace handing out daisies. No, that could be a cool thing to do, handing out daisies and talking about love. But underpinning it, you know, what if we could all really bring those parts of ourselves in ways that can work professionally? Accountability and commitment and retention and engagement and all those kind of things coming out of that deep positive place. You know, whatever someone looks at it as, whether they look at it as love or some other concepts. As you know, when we say positive tools, it's kind of that versus intimidation versus, you know, bossing around, bullying, other subtle ways of controlling people that might not be intimidation. The standard tools, the standard model.
Right. And you can get people to do what you want when you bully them, but if you can get people to do what you want and have them want to do it because they want to do it, you get a whole different outcome.
Yeah. And the biggest thing with us is that people ask, what's the difference between ours and other training? Is there isn't one other big time trainer out there that, at least from time to time, is really subtle sometimes. They really teach you ways, subtle ways, to use fear to get people to do what they want done. And ours is not that. It's that part that goes inside both the leader and the follower, so to say, reaches in and touches that part that says, we both want to go there together. And it's safe enough now for us to do this together. It's a part of, this is kind of that Me Too thing, is how many women out there know that if their boss asks them out to dinner, it's trouble. But the boss asks the guys out to dinner all the time. And they know that the guy is getting something that they can't. And they know the boss is a good guy, a wonderful person, and he would never do anything to me, but it can't happen. It just can't happen. And the thing is, what if you create an environment where the boss needs to have that talk with you, that very positive boss that happens over dinner, and it's about business? It doesn't have any other overtones.
Right.
And all the people that back at work know that you did it, and when you come back, they don't have anything to gossip about, because in our environment, we know that that's the right thing that had to happen between those two people, and it had nothing to do with a power deal. It had nothing. It had to do with what we're doing. It has about creating our energy, making us better, just like you would with a meeting with a guy. It's safe. What if we had that kind of environment? We don't have to do this stuff anymore. We don't have to spend that energy worrying. That woman and that man, the boss, is safe. It's as unsafe for the boss as it is for her right now. And everybody has to remember, it is as unsafe for both. And if it isn't safe, it isn't good for the organization.
Right.
And so we don't do it. It's not safe. HR. Got the HR man. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Right.
Okay.
And it costs a lot of energy and work and stress.
And honest to gosh, what if you had systems in place that it just doesn't exist? All of it doesn't exist. And we can come here and do our best. No fear.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I don't hear anybody talking about that in leadership. Ever. And yes, you're right. We bring in a lot of tools, a lot of different tools that most people have never connected together before. And we use them to support each other. And actually, this can happen. And it is happening. And we need it to grow. And we want people to help us. You want to come in and be at the ground level. Say, yeah, I'm one of the people that started this. Come on. Let's do it. Let's go ahead and do it. Call us. Call Chris. 218-393-0075. Pretty good, huh? And I'm 218-464-7202. Alt Lead. We have a website. It's one of those easy ones. AltLead.com.
Alt-lead.com.
Yeah, Alt-lead.com. Yeah. Pretty
That's
easy.
Important.
Of course, you have the right place when you see the logo, Alt Lead, and the alt looks kind of like an alt key.
Oh, yeah.
It's the right place, yes.
But come on, give us a call. Yeah. What's the worst thing? We'll come and talk to you. Yeah. We'll tell you what we can do. Tell us what your problem is. We'll tell you that Well, of course, we're going to tell you, we're going to handle that. You'll see that we can. And if you want to get five of your people together and we'll give you your group a taste test, we'll do it to you. It doesn't cost you a dime. Actually, we'll bring you a little gift. And there is homework. It's 90 minutes, but there is homework, and it's real fun homework. And then we'll talk about bringing the whole nine yards to you, do the whole works to you, whatever fits you. Again, we're really flexible.
That's a new product, the whole nine yards.
The whole nine
Ooh.
Yards.
Ooh.
Yeah.
An upsell.
So yeah.
It's the same as all the other products. It's got a cool name.
And then sometimes we'll have a new and improved because, you know, the old stuff wasn't so good.
Yeah.
But honestly, and the other thing you should know is this, that so far, there's never been, I don't think, there's been no training that's been the same as the one before. It all has to do with the people that are showing up, that are coming to it.
Which keeps you guys fresh.
It does.
And you're always thinking, because you're not, again, I love the fact that you're not coming from we are certified in this type of training. So you're always thinking about what's best for the client.
Yep.
So you're coming fresh, so it doesn't get old and stale, right? Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yes. Which from a business model perspective is so stupid.
Right.
Because there's nothing in a box or a set
or
presentation
system
or script that's done the same every time. And so we have the exact same material overall and the exact same, if you want to call it, the scripts for the aspects of that material that we work from. Except it's not, because every single time here we are redoing the script, the order, the integration. And I just think, how can we market our business because we spend so much damn time redoing all of these presentations every time we have a group? But you know what? That's what makes them as powerful and effective
right.
as they are.
Honestly, if people could watch us do this, it'd be so funny. It'd be fun. It's amazing how this creative thing happens, and we'll say, what about, we interviewed Judy, and here's her needs and stuff, and here's Max's, and they're similar, but here's it's kind of like not the opposite side, but it's another side of it.
Right.
And so, all right, how are we going to make sure she gets hers and he gets his? And so we start to design, how are we going to get both of these things? And our deal is to design it so both of you will get everything you possibly can out of it. Okay, so let's put this activity in, and we'll actually say, okay, let's make sure that they're in this, when we break them up, these two are in the same group. Sometimes we'll bring in a low ropes challenge we will figure that is going to get these people to see, by doing this low ropes activity, what we've been talking about, and see it from different perspectives, because obviously that person can't lift something heavy, and that person can. This person is very visual, and this person isn't. How can we get them to appreciate these things out of each other?
Right.
And so everyone has a different design. It has a different element to bring about the end result. We are extremely creative. We find ways to make it happen, and we'll make it fit you. Believe me, we'll make it fit whoever's in the room.
I just had an insight.
Yeah? Insight.
Well, we talk, you know, that model and approach is, we even call it customized. It's not customization. It's actually fully respecting and integrating into the diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And Marty talking about some of those concerns with male, female,
mm-hmm.
That's an element of diversity in the workplace. You know, it's male, female. My daughter works in that realm in a corporate setting, you know, and it's total diversity, but includes women. But the other part is other groups that, especially the government, is looking at in terms of tracking, but diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that different way we do Myers-Briggs and bring people to respect that full diversity, going along with all the other stuff we've been talking so far, which is very respectful of each individual, is that if everybody's looked at and dealt with and integrated as an individual, then it doesn't matter if they're male, female, black, Asian, whatever it might be, you know, because ultimately it is the person. And at least in my experience, I've been part of conversations where people talk about that diversity of experience, and it's really respect and get to know me as an individual. Don't treat me as just what you see. It's just me. That's exactly what we're getting at there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, my insight, and say truly, I never quite looked at customizing it, is that when we talk through the interviews we've had with the participants coming up to something, and week to week even, we'll change our plan to really make sure the most happens, or day to day. You know, you got a whole 5-day retreat planned out, and the next thing you know, you realize, you know what, tomorrow's got to look like this.
Yeah.
And
we'll be up at night saying, this changes, this changes that.
Yeah.
And that comes, it's really easy for me to, because I'll go, and he has to do all the changes on slides and stuff. And he does, he never says but, but he wants to. But I got a signal. And and the deal is, oh yeah, I can find, I can do it.
And I'll stay up all night. That's good.
It's always, I mean, our biggest deal is to make sure that we get it for each person that's there. And believe me, when you're done, you'll go. Some people will actually think, nah, not everybody, will think that the whole thing was designed just for them. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. It was designed for everybody that was there. It was for them, but not just for them. And again, that's part of making it stick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happens on a diverse team? And that's not just diversity by the usual stuff people use that word for, but that full variety of different personalities. If you use Myers-Briggs types, I mean, there's some that are a little more, you know, in the norm, and some others that are kind of out on the fringe.
Uh-huh.
I happen to be out on one of the fringes myself. What if all of that was completely accounted for and integrated in a workplace, and the workplace environment and culture allowed for that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're kind of doing that and planning and operating a retreat or a training, but just coincidentally, part of that training is that that's actually what we're empowering people to be able to do, is every single aspect of every individual in there being understood and included and integrated and on board and getting the full power of everything that all your people have to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the truth is, we do use our tools. Mm-hmm. We use them ourselves. Are we perfect? No. Ask my wife. Of course, I'm a man. But that isn't the deal. Being perfect is not the answer. But it's creating the environment where people can be their best. Yes, we can make mistakes. Even the top person can make a mistake. It doesn't mean that they're no good.
It's amazing how when an environment allows for that, and it allows for everybody to make mistakes, it really does create a whole different people. People are willing to take a lot more chances and be creative.
I hope there's a person on the very top that's listening to this, and I hope you'll be able to speak to people, because we've heard this from others. They feel that they're constantly being judged, and they cannot make a mistake.
Yep.
How would you like to live in that pressure?
Yeah, that's not fun. Yeah.
And really, so how many ulcers have you had? How many heart attacks have you had? How many? Give me a break.
Yeah.
What if that was lifted? Think of your creativity. Think of the stuff that you would be allowing your team to do if your environment allowed. And again, you're not the only one responsible for the environment. The whole team, you can start the changes. Your team can ask that. You can bring it to them, and the team can, they don't have to, but they will accept these things. And yes, sometimes they'll actually test you to see if you're serious about it. So let them test you. Big deal. You said you're going to respect me? Okay, let's just see. Big shot. And so surprise them. Pass the test.
Well, and if the top level people are listening into anything like this and think that they don't need it, they should head right on in.
Yeah, head right in. But again, it's for a whole organization. We don't have to do everybody. Our thing is to empower you to bring it to them. We will do as many of the people you want to. But the deal is, it is about empowerment. The idea is for you to bring it, and we'll support you in doing it. And if you do need us to come in, though, I mean, we just talked to somebody that signed them up the other day, and we told them, if you need us to come in and do this with you, if you don't feel, we'll come in and do it with you, with your team. Yeah.
So after, are you saying after you're kind of...
Yeah.
After the session, so you're taking the next step to go, okay, we'll be here and get things rolling.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you're a really big company, you may want to...
Come on, man, open up the pocketbook. Don't be stingy.
You're talking about being all fair to us. But we don't have all the time in the world for everything. But for a small organization like this one, it's critical for them that they get it to go through the whole organization and fairly fast. So, okay, and we'll do that for them. We're really very flexible. We aren't going to just bend over backwards 100% for you, but you have to take on some of the responsibility and do the work, too. And this guy is willing to do the work, too, so it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But he hasn't got a lot of team to be bringing, and he needs some support in getting that trust built. So we'll do that for him.
Yeah. Depending on the place, any place could be, you know, it seemed tough to get it going, but bigger companies are tough places. You know, things oftentimes don't change fast. There's a lot of competing dynamics and pressures.
Mm-hmm.
I've often thought of what we do as we get a crack opened up, that the light starts coming in, and then it just grows from there. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's doing training is trying to get some crack open to some degree there. We can get it open wide enough to get that light in to where it not really starts shining on a lot of stuff and warming it and helping that change grow, you know, like the sun and the earth. In a bigger organizational environment, you know, they might need that kind of crap to really make some change for once.
Yep.
And we can bring that.
Yep. I mean, you might say they might have 47 different departments. I mean, whatever it is, you know, we have 27 departments. Well, give us one of them. Give us two.
Right.
Give us two of them. You know, it's not going to cost an arm and a leg. See if it's good. And so then give us two more. Give us two more. Get us to the point where we have enough of a big enough core of departments doing this stuff that now we need to go a little higher up too as we do this. And then all of a sudden you're going to have a nucleus of people that can bring it to the whole works and spread it out. And you can design that. We'll help you do a little of the design stuff. That's coaching. But the idea is, if it's really going to work, you need to be part of that empowerment to take it to your employees. Using outsiders is good up to a point, but if this is really going to take in a big organization somewhere, you need to take it over and own it and bring it to the whole works and let them see it's you. You're the one. We could milk you to death on it. I mean, it'd be fine, you know. Again, our wives would be really happy because, you know, it's got to be right. It's got to be correct for you. And whatever it is, we'll do that. But there's going to be a fairness to us at some point, too.
Right. Yeah. So we've got your... Go ahead.
Oh, as I said, we're believers in the concept of, as we call it, total integrity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's not just the company that has a big ethical thing pop up. I mean, that's all part of integrity, too. But integrity is, you know, that complete wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have confidence in the notion of entering into a business relationship with somebody and that we really can come out with that total integrity of the way it worked out together financially, practically implementing it, the whole package that way. It's beyond customization. You know, it's beyond saying, well, you know, you tell us your needs and we'll come up with a bid and a price and it's fair and you work it out that way. It really goes beyond that. It really goes to that notion of, I guess I'm going to the word you use, Judy, you know, wholeness. What we're about is partnering up together to start this company to do the changes we want to bring. It really is about that. I think even in just a initial meeting to discuss things, particularly even in that taste test, people start to get really a sense of that's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's so clear off the bat.
We've even told people who aren't sure what their budget is to say, you know what? You do the training and then you pay us what you think it's worth.
Mm.
And no one ever wants to do that because ultimately, secretly, they're kind of hoping that it will really be worth so much they have to pay the whole amount.
Or more.
Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, sometimes it's for somebody, we don't know your budget. And, you know, so talk to us. We do need to make some money, no two ways about it. But we also want to make this happen, so let's talk.
Mm.
And the thing is, if it is in your budget, then pay us it. Don't compromise yourself. If it really isn't, but you really, really want it, then talk to us and we'll figure it out. No, we're not going to do it for nothing. So, but we do have bills to pay too, like anybody else.
Sadly,
so
that's
please
the
respect
reality.
Us.
Yeah, exactly.
So hey, if they like a electric utility hired us, but they had no money in the budget, but we got free electricity for the rest of our lives, would that be okay?
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting trade.
Yes.
The city would give us taxes free?
Good luck.
The state would?
Yeah.
How about the feds? Ooh, right.
Yeah.
So we've got your contact information. And we've got your website.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we need to know to contact you or something people should think about going forward?
I mean, okay, we go to coffee a lot. We'll sit down and talk over coffee about this with you. And it can be at a coffee house, be at your place, whatever you want. Just put on the pot. If you have tea, we drink tea too.
Yeah. We teleconference in Zoom. If you happen to be hearing this and you're not local, greater region around Minnesota where we're based here, you know, heck, you know, we just as soon drive down to the Twin Cities and talk face-to-face with somebody than Zoom in. But we'll conference anyway, necessary.
Yeah. If you're in Denver, I think Zoom works fine. If not, we'll do... Yeah.
If you're in Aruba, we'll...
Aruba
will come down and see you.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah, exactly. So you guys are willing to go...
We'll go anywhere. We'll go anywhere. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We'll come in and do... We'll probably, first of all, this stuff, the initial stuff with you electronically, But when it comes down to interviewing your people, well, we're going to have to come there and talk to them.
Right.
It's a face-to-face. It's in the room with you. It's that kind of conversation. It has to happen. Yeah, we'll go. And yes, you got to be considered as part of the expensive work for it. But believe me, you're going to get a product that is going to be used. It will make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a Jumbotron type training. It is not 150 people in the room. It isn't. You have to pay $9,000 and go to New York City and still find your own lodging and food. It's none of that stuff. We're more interested in making this work for you. If it you are somewhere else, we'll find a place to all meet, and we'll meet there and do it.
Well, and I think some of these companies, you know, it's interesting. We have the kind of the company mindset of grow.
Yeah.
And then we have some of these other companies who are doing amazing work by realizing it's not that simple. It's not that straightforward.
Right.
It's like, I think it's the neoprene company that they have all divisions.
Yes.
They figured out like 100 people is the... get above 100 and you start losing the team connection. You start losing the quality.
Yeah.
And understanding that, I mean, we've had some weird, I think, weird corporate cultures. You know, I worked at a company in Minneapolis when we went from, you know, high cube walls to the new design of the building being low cube walls. And we all, of course, that was the integrative culture of keeping everybody connected. We all hated it. There was nothing good about it. And productivity went
down,
sunk. And none of us were like, who? Clearly the person who thought this was a good idea does not work in an environment like this. It's a concept only for them because we all just blew us away. And I think there is that when you're looking at the companies who are succeeding. When I think of what things you hear about Google
and
you know, and some of those of how they're working their corporate culture, it's those are the things some of the small companies can easily listen to because they're small. And larger companies need to get back and be realistic and think about how human beings work rather than how this entity that they're trying to create does not work typically well together.
And you might, I'll tell you one thing before we go. We did a bigger employer in the area, major employer in the area, and they sent somebody to our taste test to evaluate it and to get back to them. It's that's still being closed-minded. And so this woman went to it, and she wrote back to the boss, and we saw her response was that this would be really great for everybody below a certain managing level.
Oh, wow.
But for above, I don't think it would work.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And
that blows my mind.
Yeah. And it's, so, I mean, that's her opinion. That's fine.
Right.
It's kind of like you're saying. It's that having these two different, you know, the people who thought one office setting would work better. They made the decision without ever talking to anybody if we're going to be using it or being affected by it. And she's making a judgment for all the executive people saying no. And so you can only assume some of the reasons. And part of it is that for part that we do know that for the people in upper management, it's real scary because the feeling is going to be is we're going to give up control.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're really going to do is spread out the control.
Mm-hmm.
Spread out, and guess what? All of a sudden, I'm not kidding you, when it happens, it's just like what happened in that place you worked is if they had done it correctly and talked to the employees what they really needed to make it happen, make the workplace space, the spaces correct, is everybody's work level would go up, and actually people's workloads would go down.
Mm-hmm.
And management would not have to be running around trying to put out all these fires. Now they're putting out fires because people, in your case, didn't like the place where they were, the environment. This company we work with, they spend a lot of time putting out fires.
Uh-huh.
And they do. It's huge how much time they spend putting out fires. And that whole thing would go away. But you see, the only way they know a way to put out a fire is get control.
When I think of people who wouldn't be, because I can see the division when I think of how some structures are and who are in those structures, but it's not because the training isn't good for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the how do you drop their walls enough so that they will open up to the training,
and
part, that's you know,
and it comes down to is they feel as unsafe as the people below that
line. Right.
But
they just have some power.
They have some power.
Right.
Everybody in the workplace doesn't feel safe.
Right.
I mean, even the person at the top
right.
does not feel safe. Let's change it.
Right, exactly.
Let's
allow everybody to come in and open up.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah. Oh my gosh. And people, until you've seen an environment shift like that and you've seen people at the top open, you'd have no concept of how amazing that can be.
Yep. And then we just did a little special thing for a very small company recently. We did it, well, it was supposed to be, it was video, wasn't it? Where we did it electronically.
Oh, yeah.
They were out in Seattle and stuff. And it was not a real training. It was an adaptation for them. And this was the favor from one of them who did this. And we interviewed everybody ahead of time, and it became very apparent that if we were suggesting anything, everybody felt unsafe. Well, almost everybody felt unsafe. And there's only 9 people?
8 or 9 of them.
Wow.
Something. Yeah.
Okay. But nobody, from the conversation, we could tell the person who felt the most unsafe was the owner.
Oh, wow.
And so we had to create the environment, this thing, where this person was not going to have to worry about his safety.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing how they had a 2-day deal going on out in Seattle or someplace. And they put us on first on this training. And feedback afterwards was, it became part of everything else they did for the next 2 days. And this guy, right after us, he went back to not being, and being safe immediately, and the rest of the group just took it away from him and made him safe.
Oh, wow.
They used the tools we gave him. And we didn't give him a lot of our tools. We just gave him a couple because it was...
Start small.
It was like a big taste test.
Wow.
But and the thing is, this person, like for the first time, felt safe.
Wow.
None of those people thought that he did not...
Right.
I mean, he must feel safe. He's telling us what to do all the
time. Right,
he's the owner.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's scared to death.
Wow.
And I'm not scared to death, but it's...
Right, but it, yeah.
It's fear. And he thinks then, that, of course, the only thing to do is to keep that fear going, to keep everybody in place.
Right.
Didn't have to.
Right. Well, and certainly you hear many, not many, but I've certainly heard people who... That's like they want their kids to be afraid of them. They want their employees to be afraid of them because that's the only way they have been taught to control.
I mean, I came from a very dysfunctional family, and I was in college at the time, and my dad and I did not get along. And he was kind of domineering and stuff. And he finally said to me, he says, see, Marty, there's 2 ways to raise a family. And one is through fear, and one is through love. And he says, and I don't know how to love.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? He didn't know it, but he... does know how to love. He did know how to love, because there's plenty of times we've gone back and said, yeah, that was love. That was love. It's in there. It's hit that alt key. Hold it down. Push the other button. Get it to come up. And it's the same thing with these people you think they're just jerks. It's in there. And probably go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, it's in them. I don't care who it is, you look at national figures and stuff. She's a jerk, he's a jerk, and it's fun to say so. But the truth of the matter is, it's in there. They need a safe way to bring it out.
Right.
Environment to bring it out. And we can do it. We can do it for anybody, with anybody. I mean, there's, you know, people with huge psychological problems that's a whole other story. But, and I worked in that industry, and I was pretty successful in it. The thing is that we can help. We can be that conduit of change in an environment. So give us a call. My last words for you is this. Thank you so much. Because you have to understand, sometimes you have to do things that you do a little hard. I've never done a podcast, and I've always been kind of critical of podcasting because new technology. I'm 69 years old, for gosh sake. So thanks. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Bringing me here.
Thank you.
Thanks for expanding my horizons.
All right. Anything from you, Chris? Any last words?
No.
Okay.
You said a lot of words. I would just hope that this would connect enough where someone would feel safe enough to take the next step and give us a call.
All right. Well, thank you guys, and all great success, because I absolutely love the work that you do and
Thanks.
The heart that you have going into it and the intellect and the brains that you have to put together what you guys put together every training, because it's kind of brilliant.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Friday afternoon yet? It's beer time.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Hey, everyone. I hope that you have enjoyed the conversation and that their personalities and fun and the intent and integrity really comes through for you, and that you really understand
what they are doing that is different than probably so much of the other training, if not all the other training you've ever had. You know, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I do not end the podcast or talk in the podcast about how everybody needs to go to X practitioner that I've just spoken to, or everybody needs the modality. Though I might even in many cases think that's true, I am very realistic about the sense that we all have a health and wellness budget, we have different personalities, we have different needs, and it's not appropriate. The people that I talk to are here for a reason. I believe in something big that they are doing, and these guys are no exception. Here's what I do want to say with what AltLead is doing, that if you are at a company and you have some training dollars, and many, many of them do, give these guys a shot. I mean, they have taste tests here in Duluth, in Minneapolis, and I think sometimes in other places. And again, they will work with people in other cities and other locations. But if you could make it to a taste test, go and bring a teammate with you. It's free. Check it out. And it'll be worth your time. I'm telling you, it really is. It's a good time. And you'll walk away with some cool tools. And it'll give you a sense if it might be a fit for your work. And I honestly don't know who it wouldn't be a fit for. Like, I cannot think of any job and company that I've ever worked for that I'm like, yeah, no, these guys wouldn't be beneficial. So there you go. I'll give you my corny thought, which is press the alt lead key and make it stick, but in a good way. Came up with that all by myself. Anyway, thanks so much for your time. Check out the rest of the podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can check my website out and all the other work that I do at wellnessren.com. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/wellnessren. And this is something new. If you would like to support the work that I'm doing on the podcast, if you like what you hear and you appreciate the time and effort put into connecting with these people and working with them, talking with them, and sharing that information with you, I would love it the next time you need or want to purchase something at Amazon. You can actually go to my website, go to the wellnessrenpodcast.com website, and you're going to see a link that says support the podcast. You go under that link, you're going to see a deals of the day link. You can go on there and you do not have to buy a deal of the day, but whatever you do purchase on Amazon in that shopping trip will allow for a very small portion. And this is not a portion added to your purchase. It is just a portion that comes from your purchase that basically goes into a little bucket to support the podcast. Below that, you will see a list of books that we've pulled together, all the books that we've mentioned on various podcasts. So if you've listened and you're intrigued, you can go check out that list, jog your memory. And if you purchase that book along with anything else that you purchase that day, again, no cost to you, just part of the purchase price you're already paying. So, you know, feel free to think of me when you're doing your holiday shopping or you're looking on Amazon for that next Hope Diamond you want to purchase. Of course, if you're in Minnesota at the time of recording and potentially the time this comes out, you might go straight to the down comforter section and get yourself something nice and warm because we all kind of need it. Thank you so much to anyone who is willing and able to do that. Very much appreciated. And it'll give us a good opportunity to figure out how this whole thing works. So thank you for experimenting with us. You can also support the podcast by going to iTunes and subscribing and or leaving a review about the podcast. And I almost forgot, there is a Wellness Renaissance podcast page on Facebook as well. My gosh, the amount of social media one must endure. join the group if you like. It's another way to make sure that you are aware of the podcasts and their topics as they come up. I am going to leave the contact information one more time. It is in the show notes, so you can definitely check there for their website and phone numbers. AltLead's website is alt-lead.com. To contact Chris, 218-393-0075. And to contact Marty, 218-464-7202. This is Judy with Wellness Renaissance. Here is to you finding pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle. Talk to you next time.